I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Burniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you going to pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence and Grado is here in the room with me as well. No, in the room. Well, no breaking the rules of the COVID restrictions. Grado, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm getting there. Just kind of so-so. Care what it's like. I'm neither up nor down.
Have you been, mate?
I've been all right. I've been a wee bit crabby. I've watched a bit of wrestling. I've been secret eating just another week.
You've been secret eating?
Well, secret eating and that, I've told everybody I'm on a diet and I'm really no, and I'm just kidding myself on. And I thought, well, I can tell the truth to the wrestling fans. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I could tell this one fit with that. Wrestling fans, it's a wee bit made of a community. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm lying to my girlfriend. I'm lying to her da. I'm lying to folk on the radio every morning. I'm saying I'm eating the right things and really I'm no, but I can come clean. I can shoot one.
What are you eating? Like, what would you say? What did you do this week? What did you eat that was bad?
So I done no bad on Monday. Never had a horrible breakfast. I had a nice week and a plate of cornflakes, and then I had a healthy lunch. It was just a bit of chicken and salad, and then I had a normal dinner. I can't remember. Anyway, yesterday started again, no too bad, but then I went out with the dog and I was going by the station chip shop in the Boatman of Stevenson. And I just eated a half-battered pizza supper with curry sauce, a roll, and two pickles, and a bottle of 2 litre red cola. And I basically took a picture of another dinner that I had for a couple of months ago that looked healthy and sent it to my girlfriend and said, just having this. So I can come clean here. It's just the issues that you go through, man. It's hard, man, when you're not on the road, you know, wrestling every weekend, you know, when fucking the fans stop chanting your name, you turn to food, man.
Right. It's hard, isn't it?
You were fat, and when you lost it, I thought, well, he'll be fat again, and you've just still been skinny.
I've managed to keep it off to a great extent. I've kind of fluctuated here and there, I got up and down a bit, but never near back up to where I was.
I mean, you were a wee fat man, and now you're just like a kind of just a nice, you just look like a nice bloke.
Thanks, man. Thanks for that. Thanks. Let's see what the punters are saying. See if the punters are saying anything about how good I look. Kyle says he was listening to Wrestling Daft, and Rab's telling his reporter guys are just a manifestation of telekinetic powers in a person's mind. He says now that he's got to admit he wastes a good 5 minutes every time he reaches for something trying to move it with his mind. So he's learned something about telekinesis on this show. Gary spotted a Wrestling Daft t-shirt in the Thunderdome on Royal Rumble, during Royal Rumble, which of course we're going to have to talk about, Grado, but we'll do that shortly.
That was nice.
Yeah, Mare Wrestling Music spotted at football, by the way. Don't know how you spot music. I don't know how you do that. The moment you spot it with your ears. As Mark pointed out, that Arsenal walked out to Kane's music.
What?
What's going on?
I've got a clip. Would you like to see this?
I would love to. This is right up my street.
Hold on, it'll take me a while.
Is it his old tune or is it? Is it Finger 11? Slow Chemical. Finger 11, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Finger 11?
The wonder of the world is gone and all for sure.
Right, hold on.
Decent voice there, Grado.
One more table, turn around and and she's not around.
Have you done many musical stuff? Obviously, the Apanos, but...
Well, I...
Think it's about Mary, that song.
Right. The wonder of the... Right, see, you're making me nervous now. The world is gone and oh, for sure. No, our table turned around and she's not around. I feel it coming down. Bring me what I could never ask for.
Amazing, man.
But I mean,
hey, let's hear this, John.
What? Thank you, Kelly. Yep, William is getting ready and his crossing of that white line will make him the first Brazilian player to reach 200.
One of them should go to the centre spot and go like that. And then
and then the flags at the corners.
Yeah.
I know you were asking me about singing, right? I just want to tell you, I did singing for my hires and I did get an A.
So did I, mate.
Have I told you? I feel as if I've told you this before.
No, I don't think so. No.
What was some of your songs that you sang?
I sang a song called Maria for West Side Story.
How's that going?
Did you? He goes, the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. Maria, 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 Maria. That was it.
See, I wonder if that's a hint, man. You're good at that. I had a couple of songs. One was, why does Saigon never sleep at night? Why does this girl smell of orange trees, Vietnam? You don't give answers to your friend and questions that don't ever end. But then you also go to have a wee bit of fun because I'd also done Lifted.
Oh, did you do Lifted as
well? Oh, it could be. Oh, aye. Lifted up today. Lifted along the way. Yeah.
I can't even remember what else I did. I don't remember Maria.
You go, if it was Hires, you get seven songs. I done Monday as well. I remember that. And if I were a rich man,
and the examiner would come in and stone and listen to you singing.
Aye.
Am I right?
It was, but it's funny, man, because, you know, here's the deal. You don't like singing good in front of the birds. Do you know what I mean? So when I was practicing in front of the teacher, I'd be like, whatever, man, pure lefted. Because the tidy lassies were in the class, but when it came to exams and there was no birds there to slag you, it was lifted.
I did Maybe This Time was one of the ones that did. Maybe this time I'll get lucky. Maybe this time he'll stay. And I sang it with a he as well, like singing about a guy. You know what I mean? Examiner fucking looking at me, this bloke lap. Got this guy pegged. Got this boy pegged. And what his future's going to be like. Right, anyway. Tangent.
Anyway, good. Well done, Arsenal.
Danilo adds to suggestions for Celtic's walkout music, as discussed last week, saying that
but do you think we should maybe actually say, on this podcast, a wrestling song and see if Arsenal play it their next home game?
Aye.
Why? What song will we think should we suggest?
Try and put it out there into the universe.
It needs to be a song that they would sort of probably. What have they done? They've already done the
Triple
game,
H, right?
They've done Kurt Angle, they've done Kane, West Ham did Triple H.
West Ham did Triple H.
You can't suggest, like, what about the Big Show song? No?
Well, that's maybe
the Big Show. Gangrel, maybe. Din, 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 din. That'd be a good one to come out to, wouldn't
it? Aye. X-Pac. You better stop right now. Where's it?
Billy Gunn.
What one? The one Billy Gunn? I'm an ass man.
They wouldn't come out to that, would they?
They wouldn't come out to I'm an ass man. They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
D'Lo Brown. You're looking at the real deal now, what? I'm going to kick your sorry ass out of the street, boy.
Danilo suggested that Celtic should come out to Goldust's theme song because they're fucking shattering dreams here, boys. After discussing new gimmicks for Grado and a possible team up with Michael Barrymore, Chris says, surely a Grado and Barrymore tag team is a must, but you would have to ban the Big Splash or any other swimming pool related moves. John, you shouldn't be putting
This is a friend of a friend here.
Sorry, Grado, sorry.
Big shout out to wrestling figure maker extraordinaire, Kyle Customs. who, after the chat about the Spooky Club last week, has designed a T-shirt based on the Bullet Club design for Spooky Club. So you can have a wheel here at that. Might get this up in our merch stand, but we probably got a cease and desist with New Japan as well as Hulk Hogan. I don't want to be sued.
Well, aye. Very interesting that the as soon as he put that up, the Bullet Club put something up about how their original Bullet Club T-shirt has... for the first time in a couple of years, is back up in the charts on pro wrestling tees.
I hate it when wrestlers, I've spoken about this before, when they rip off other people's logos and all that. It's just so small time. I don't like it.
I mean, I done it for years. I remember, but Colt Cabana's the same as you. He'd always go, "What are you doing, man?" Because I had like my Grado Mania one. I never had the Bullet Club one, but I was so pissed off at seeing every fat strob in the UK coming out with fucking Buffy Club and all that. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Just fucking drop it, man.
So the pun in is back, but as decided last week, it's only going to happen once a month. That's all I will allow. And this week, it's all about wordplay with wrestling and religion. Before we get into it, though, we have to take a wee point here to talk about gimmick infringement. If a WWE wrestler and my niece, Isla Dawn, was spotted looking for wrestling dog related puns on Twitter. We set a law team on her, obviously, and she has tried to buy her silence by offering up the pun Growldo for a dog related. See, that's no enough for me. I might have to have a word with her privately about that gimmick infringement. See, either she's infringing her gimmick, or she hasn't listened to the show ever and hasn't realised that we do this thing.
I think it's the second one.
I think it's the latter.
And look, it's not about her. It's not about gimmick infringement. It's the fact I'm jealous that we never come up with fucking dugs. That's a great one. We're sitting here going, Chinese food, chocolate. Do you know what I mean? Dugs, man.
I know. Maybe we could do cats. Anyway, religious puns. Here we go. Karate Warrior 2. Go in touch with Bruno Samaritan, no? Adam Rosary and Dave Baptista. Westy says Rick Prayer. Cameron says Jesse... The Body of Christ Ventura. Islami Zane and Buddha Ray Dudley.
That's good.
Nick says Prince Halalbert. The Monkey Tonk Man. The Insane Clown Proddies. And the New Jack Testament. Glasgow Bob's got the Bible Basham Brothers.
Brilliant.
Alistair's got the Jesusos. That's a stretch,
ain't that's aye.
Hey, WWS PFL says Big Popper Pope, which is pretty sweet.
Right.
Toby says Prado. You have like a prayer, another level of meaning there.
Good.
Big Benny says Kevin Nash Wednesday. I like that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit squad. Samosa's Joe.
That's good.
You like that one?
Sheikh Abdul Bashir. And Piper Heaven. Yeah. Callum says Iron Sheik. Giant Prey Stacks. And Testament. Martin has got Bethlehem Phoenix.
Brilliant.
And Jericho. Thomas has got Baron Mormon. And Lee has got Drew McIntyre.
They were good.
They were all right. I like Kevin Nash Wednesday. I like that. That's the kind of stretch I like. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Time for Bury and Put Over now. Every week we like to separate the good for the bad, the Billy McNeils for the Shane Duffys. Let's have a talk about the Royal Rumble. Grado, did you watch it?
So I would say I watched maybe about 60% of it.
Right.
I saw the Goldberg match.
What did you think of the Goldberg match?
It was a bit weird. I mean, it done what it was meant to do, but it was But again, it's like I don't know. When was the last time you seen somebody start a fight and then the bell doesn't go off? That, I don't know. It wound me up anyway.
I enjoyed it.
No, it was fine. This is me just being a fucking
and a nice clean win and all that. And I thought Goldberg looked good as well.
Aye, man, I liked his shots. Nice shots.
That I wear putting the bins out.
I know. Nice shots, Goldberg.
I know, it was weird he was wearing these shorts.
It was, man. Why has he done that? It's weird, isn't it?
It was weird, wasn't it?
Aye. What's he doing with shorts, man?
I kind of feel like when you wear shorts like that, it's because, you know, sometimes if you go into a shite, right, and you've got a, it's a really, really hard shite and it gets stuck halfway out.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got half the shite is sticking out your arse.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, what do I do here? Do I push it in or do I like, try and pull it out? And then you're like, oh God, I've run out of time. I'll just need to put these shorts on.
I don't...
Do you know what I mean?
No, listen, no. I cannot leave, I cannot leave a toilet unless my hoop has been, has taken an office into, whether it be toilet roll under the water and shoved right up the fucking chuff. I need a hygienic anus.
Oh, obviously, I'm talking about Goldberg here.
Sorry, I thought you meant you, sorry.
No,
mate.
I'm talking about Goldberg.
It just reminded me again of Vader with these fucking trackies and his Goldberg community center.
Why, what Goldberg shorts did, or the shite thing I was talking about?
To be honest with you, you could relate some way to something. It's going to give me the book talking about this. Keep going.
Sorry. Royal Rumble. I enjoyed that. I watched the whole event. It was very long, though, wasn't it?
It was long, mate.
It was very long. I think if you're going to have two Royal Rumbles, you have like maybe one match at best. Like have one match or two matches at a push, and then the two Royal Rumbles.
Or the Saturday night, the women's Rumble, and Sunday night, the men's Rumble, because there's no crowds. Just fucking,
it's too long, man. It's too long. It's too long. I think on the whole, I think maybe the women's Royal Rumble was a wee bit more fun. And the guys' Royal Rumble, but it was good. It was great seeing Christian back. It was good.
Kalito looked jacked. He looked good, by the way.
For a guy's age, I mean, he's like 50 odds. He was 60 now, nearly 60. Right. And he looked great.
Did you fall for the Randy Orton Edge thing?
I knew obviously Randy Orton was going to appear at the end. So I kind of.
I think I did fall for it, to be honest.
You know what I mean?
Aye.
But here's what the finish I was hoping for was. Randy Orton and Edge and Christian as the last three. That was the finish I was wanting. Once I saw Christian was in, I was like, I hope Randy Orton comes out, and then you've got the three as the last three, Randy Orton, Edge and Christian. And then I would like to have seen Edge and Christian just doing some old tag team stuff on Randy Orton, proper revenge stuff, and flinging Randy Orton out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would love to have seen the two of them facing off in the middle of the ring, and the two of them hugging, and Christian shaking Edge's horn, and Edge saying, what you doing? And Christian walking out of the ropes to eliminate his cell, and Edge trying to stop him for eliminating his cell, and Christian jumping out. I would have loved that.
I would have loved
Christian for his pal going, I want you to go to WrestleMania one last time.
But then Edge turns around and slaps him and goes, don't be stupid, fight this, fight me.
He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to fight you. And he just like eliminates his cell. I would have loved that. Anyway, they didn't do that.
Or he fucking teases it and goes, come on, I'm getting out. And Edge walks through and he fucking...
puts Edge out?
Aye.
Oh, fuck. See,
no Edge out, but at least tries to, do you know what I mean? Call that? The stun gun on the ropes and fucking...
Aye.
But then he would eliminate himself if he gave him the stun gun, so forget
that. I think that the feel-good ending of Christine eliminating himself as the second last one and to give Edge the shot would have been amazing.
You're good at this, man.
Or Edge fucking stopping Christian and going, I'll go out, man. I've had my big moment. Here's a big moment for you anyway. We could have been great.
Or Randy Orton just gets his buzz out.
Aye, Randy Orton. Imagine Randy Orton just like started like just kissing the two of them.
Aye, man.
Just started kissing them. And then Alexa Bliss comes out, just starts firing fireballs at them. Just like pew, pew, fireballs at their faces. No, I might as well do that. This is what I enjoyed at the Royal Rumble. The fact that Alexa Bliss just got shoved out in about 2 seconds and there was no fiend. That was great. It was as if I'd booked it.
I was worried for you.
It was as if I'd booked it. Alexa Bliss comes out, punted right out when she starts doing all spooky garbage. And then the fiend didn't even turn up. Fiend's at home. He's eating a kebab.
No well, man. He's no well.
Is he no well?
Nah, I was just saying that.
All right, okay.
How'd you say no? He was no well, you know what I mean?
Why?
Tonsillitis.
Right, the punters, Daniel wants to put Stein away for the Rumble because everybody will have a go at that. He's talking about Shingo versus Tanahashi for the Omoi title, hard hitting with some... Listen, nobody cares about that.
Cool, man.
About
the Royal Rumble. You watch the Japanese stuff.
That's
Daniel from New Zealand, who wants rid of the puns, by the way, so...
Daniel blew it there, by the way, because we did want to talk about the Royal Rumble-ish this week, so...
Right.
Don't you try and second guess us, mate. Daniel. Andrew wants to put up the Yokozuna Icons episode on the network. Well worth a watch.
Wow. Wow, fucking superb documentary, troops. I'm telling you, probably one of the best ones I've done in a while. And I think it's because the age I was, I remember Yokozuna coming to the fucking Magnum in Irvine. There's a great picture of Drew McIntyre with fucking Yokozuna at the Magnum. But I think I didn't actually really appreciate the problems that big fella had. Like, no. It was unbelievable. Like, he got so, so big and he was released for his own good, and he couldn't do it. And, you know, there's footage of him at, like, these pure rotten shows with rotten rings, and it's heartbreaking, man. And I think Decent One guys are, like, some of the nicest folk ever. The Rikishi's tells some good stories. Don't want to spoil it, but it was fucking heartbreaking, man. What was he, 34, 35, 36? I mean, that's unreal.
And there's
footage of him in the big breakfast, which I popped out as well. He's sitting there with these fan outing, and they kind of build it as like a couple of days before he died, because he was out here with Dixon when he died, man. I remember reading about it in the Daily Record and stuff like that.
And also, as far as I was concerned, he was a Japanese guy.
I know.
You would never have questioned that. 100%. Andrew also wants to bury Natalia being number 30 in the Women's Rumble. What a disappointment. I was waiting on it being Ronda Rousey.
But we
knew in advance, though, didn't we? Natalia was number 30, I think. So maybe that's just me, because I'm a genius. Paul wants to put over Pat Patterson My Way documentary on the network. I need to watch that. I would like that. Also, Yokozuna documentary. So many people talking highly of him. Rikishi Greeting telling the story of when he had bought him a new radiator.
All right, well, I wasn't going to tell you. It's spoiled now, but I bought my fucking radiator.
For his house?
He was called.
Christ. Showing him on the big breakfast, great tributes. And he wants to bury Orton's big stupid tomato face, making a full recovery at the Rumble.
I know that.
Neil wants to bury, easy target, has been said many times before, but bury the Royal Rumble rules. Billy Kay, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins a wee bit all showed that there's no need to even be in the ring. Why not just wait outside or hide in the back until everybody else is eliminated and come in at the end? They need to buckle down on that, didn't they? They need
I don't know how you felt about the old the guy outside pulling folk out. How can that just suddenly be no DQ? I feel as if that was the case, fucking DX 20 years ago, we'd be all waiting about outside to pull folk out.
Just pulling everybody out.
Aye. Yeah.
And he wants to put over Becky Lynch throwing everybody on Twitter by posting a nice curtain. Fraser wants to put over Christian and Carlito's returns at the Rumble. Both look great and sensible from Carlito to Miss Legends Night, as they've been just a face in the crowd then. And Fraser wants to bury Paul Heyman not being able to work a key the way he can work the mic. I mean, that was excruciating, that bit, wasn't it? Heyman tried to unlock that handcuffs.
I can't remember that bit. Was that during the Roman Reigns match?
It was at the end. It was the finish of the Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens match. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the bulk of that match, but the matches just end up too long as well, because they're wandering about all over the place. Too long.
And once you've seen all that folk falling through tables and getting ran over, man, that doesn't even... I don't want to sound... I love folk going through tables and all this, but when it's the full match, it literally was oiling after the...
Saying it's garbage wrestling, didn't you, Grado?
I'm not saying it's garbage, because who they are makes it... it's no garbage. Do you get what I mean?
Aye, but you're saying that anybody that does all the spots where they go through a table, no, they're garbage wrestlers.
They're garbage wrestlers. Listen, mate, I fucking love garbage wrestling. I fucking love garbage. I used to have a thing in UKFF years ago, and it was a poll, and I'd put up a wrestler, and I'd write great, good, or garbage. And it was fucking well over. It was over as far... Ian Dice Clare, whatever, he'll tell you that it was over great, good, or garbage.
But you said... You're basically saying any wrestlers that do the kind of spots, though, like attacks and the tables, not that it's just junk wrestling, that it's no proper wrestling.
I've never said that.
That's your That's what you just. That's what you just said.
No, look.
That they're garbage wrestlers. That they're junk. That's junk wrestling. That's not wrestling. You said.
No, I never. Because
you
I
said
love
that
it.
What Will Ospreay does or the flipping about is not wrestling.
Well, it's wrestling. I just don't like it.
I managed to talk you right into that. Now. I'm like the police and that making a murderer. What's his name's fucking nephew, Brendan Dassey. That was how they.
You seen the nose today? Why not? You seen the nose today? You're on it. You're on the nose today.
That's a great documentary.
It's not that good.
But what do you mean it's not that good?
No, you know I love my crime and killing fucking things. I love them. But making a murderer for me was very, very frustrating. See, when I know that guy shouldn't have been in jail and it's only in episode 5, I can't bear it. It annoys me.
Do you
me.
Think he shouldn't have been in the jail?
Well, from what I've heard, I probably should have watched the end of it because there's people that are kind of undecided. But I thought
you've not watched the whole series?
No, because we see when he started planting blood on him and all that and fucking about with test tubes, I went, oh, no, fuck this. I was like, no, they're bastards. That's shite. So should I've watched her?
So you're saying the detectives that did that, that was garbage detective work they were doing. James isn't burying anything because there's enough shite to be moaning about, but he wants to put over how good Christian looked at the Rumble. Looked great. Derek, again, is another one who loved the Yokozuna documentary. Stephen wants to put over Bianca Belair winning the Women's Rumble. A new star has been created in the Women's Division, he says. And he wants to bury Jey Uso being advertised for the Royal Rumble, but no even being in it.
Oh man, that's terrible.
That's terrible. Jan wants to put over 24-hour Fight Forever from GCW. Good day of free wrestling with fundraising for all the performers and crew. It was good to see matches from promotions who would not normally get a look in. Annie Bonus, I've got no idea what that is.
it's GCW. I was meant to work for them once. It's kind of Joey Janela's and Danny Havoc's company. That's weird. I just never imagined a GCW fan called Jan. That's weird.
24-hour Fight Forever, does that mean it was 24 hours long?
They do stuff like that, to be fair. Aye. Summit's garbage, man.
Okay. And Jan wants to bury Rey Mysterio becoming an advert for...
What was that about, man? That was funny, wasn't it? What was the beer called again?
Victoria, is it? Is it Victoria's beer or something like that?
That was weird, wasn't it?
Is it his beer?
No, they've done a deal. I mean, they talked about it for about a minute during the Rumble. They just
They've paid mega money, man, for that.
I know. And he had that on his mask. Fucking hell.
What about fucking Bad Bunny and Booker T? What the fuck?
What was that, man?
What's that, man? What was that?
And a guy got, and then they had like, it's Bad Bunny. I mean, don't fucking ask a guy with that name. Won't he? The wrestling show.
And then, the fucking Miz and John Morrison stuff is horrible as it is, and they're backstage trying to be his pal and all that. I'm going... If that was your life, Miz would be gone. Who the fuck? I've never heard of Bad Bunny.
This guy is so over in America. He's huge. He's like 30 million followers or something.
Is he a TikToker?
I don't know if he's a TikToker or what, but he's got incredible amount of followers.
Is he like that guy that was in the jail with the pink hair and all that and the tattoos in his face?
Gary Glitter.
And now, in the Elimination Chamber, performing live, Island Records recording artist, Gary Glitter.
Come on. I don't know if they should have done this deal. I don't know why he's on it. And I have to say, one thing I will say, though, did Booker Tino look like he could wreck everybody in the roster?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Rab. Why did they know... perform that maybe as number one and Booker T comes out and it's number one and everybody's like, look at fucking Booker T. He looked to be 8 foot tall. He was jacked. He looked like a fucking total badass. Why not just have him in the Rumble for 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, you would have totally believed. See if Booker T had been in the Rumble looking like that. You would have thought to yourself, Booker T might win this.
Ken and I
love you fucking would have. You would have went, see if he was in the last four, Booker T, you'd be like, fucking, it's got to be Booker T versus Roman Reigns.
For the fight with that fucking for that clobber, isn't it? Winner gets a fucking camel clobber
on a pole match. I haven't explained what the word clobber means now. Right now, every
clobber
week,
tea.
Every week we run down a chart.
Charlie Nichols. Clobber tea, man, that's horrific.
Every week We ran down a chart of something wrestling related and a list of wrestling daft. You can
Roman Clays. Right, well, we've got it for next week. Clays. Roman Clays and
Clover Tea.
Clover Tea. Roman Clays.
It's a part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. However, this week we thought we would invite somebody to run in. So please welcome the voice at ICW, as seen on the WWE Network, Mr. Billy Kirkwood.
Kirkwood. He don't know about his den. He's never after him, but he lives in that. He lives in that fucking pod.
There he is. Look at his wee house.
I know.
How he's doing?
How you doing, Billy?
Fucking hellish, man. What the fuck is going on with this Mad Max fucking bullshit? Do you know what I mean? Fuck this. I'm all right. I'm good.
Mate, everybody's putting a brave face on it, isn't they? The Rock, it's a fucking nightmare. And let's just have 30 seconds here where we'll talk about how bad it really is. This is a fucking nightmare.
Right, shite.
Fucking sick of it. Getting folk crying over not being able to get the right cheese in the fucking supermarket and shit like that. I'm getting sick of this bish, honestly. Mm-hmm. You want to go outside and wash yourself in a puddle? I'm getting fucking sick of COVID. Fucking junkies aren't even trying to be junkies anymore. The fucking world's gone to shit. I used to love a junkie. And not even junkies are doing their junkie pattern now. Same or nothing.
But Billy, you're the fucking biggest grafter I've ever met. You're never off everything. You're on everything.
Mate, and it's because I'm really shite and I don't like... I do twice the work of everybody else.
No, and you know what? It's funny because when John took your corona, I was like, oh, I hope... Because I had the fear last Sunday morning because who's that commentator doing in London who works for Alex Shane and he done the FWA for years? Big nice boy. Oh, he just came out last week. He was very... kind of put up a nice wee post and all that about how he came out as gay and all that, and I basically was like, you're the best British commentator. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, fuck, I hope Billy Kirkwood doesn't see that actually.
Mate, I am fucking outraged. You thought I didn't think you were referencing me.
How could anybody, it's like every fucking entrance video is your voice is on it and I'm calling some other fucking commentator the best in the UK, you know what I mean?
So what have you been up to, Billy? What have you been at? Obviously, ICW have been continuing doing their stuff on the network. How's that been?
Do you know, it's when I heard about it, there was going to be no crowds. The first thing I thought was, man, this is going to be so weird. But do you know the mental thing is? I realized that when you're doing wrestling commentating, you tend to just watch the wrestling. So it kind of just sort of faded. Don't get me wrong. I mean, crowds are still a big part of storytelling or still a big part of the vibe, but I just find myself, it's like, let's concentrate on the action, let's concentrate on the story. So it's been good, man. And it's been a testament to how good the athletes are, especially here in Scotland and UK. You see the boys down at UK NXT and doing it. And NXT UK, don't want to get a fucking email. and how well they're adapting to it, man. I think we're leading the world in how we do this. I mean, we don't have the big fancy fucking
screens and all that.
Well,
can you imagine if these screens all had ICW fans on them? Though, you imagine the fucking disaster that would be.
Some guy from Carluke wanking himself into a frenzy. Do you know what I mean?
But I've always got to think about, see the likes of that match on Sunday with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, and they're throwing ourselves at fucking stages, and there's no crowd to react to that. That must be 10 times sir. Because at least if you take a bump, there's a crowd there, you know, the adrenaline gets you through. But doing that in an empty, it must be a fucking absolute, it must be sick.
They must pump in crowd noise, like, in the arena at a time. Because imagine you just take that big bump and the noise hears a cameraman going, oh, very good.
Yeah, exactly.
Some guy farting on the other end of the arena. Delta! Fuck's sake, I'm trying to murder Roman Reigns here, do you mind?
Wait, what's been happening anyway with like the ICW and the network and stuff like that? Have you been recording? And are you there at the shows? Or no,
I'm not at the shows. The guys are, it's like, I mean, it's a TV production. You guys know about that. They're in the COVID bubble. You know, everyone's getting tested and they're being as safe as they can. Me and Jamie, we're doing it in post-production because they're making a TV show now. I mean, it was a live event. It's a TV production now and it's immense how they're doing, but no, we're getting everything sent through, like said, Dallas and Andy Redline and Scott and what have you. They're giving us a brief on what to do, and it's been good, man. The fact we managed to keep the wheels turning on this bad boy, and the fact our stuff is holding up. I mean, us going into the going on the network during lockdown, one of the coolest things I thought about it was whether it's the new shows or, you know, some of the old shows, our stuff is holding up, man. We look, I think our stuff in the UK is looking fucking pretty sweet. And
but do you still need to pay for the network?
Me personally, I need to pay double. Apparently, I'm pretty sure they must be folk in like Texas and no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Just squealing like a goat that's had some stuff up its arse. I'm just fucking excited to be there. But we get lovely feedback, man. We get lovely, and the fact that people are getting to experience guys like, you know, they're getting to experience our icons, like even antagonists like Red Lightning is coming on and talking. You get to see Mark Coffey and Wolfgang and everything. They get to see Grado. Grado's on the fucking network, mate. Grado's on the fucking network.
And how many times have you watched yourself on the network, Grado?
I've never done it. Because the first match with Jackie Parlour was fucking rotten, and I went, I can't bear watching that again. But then the James Storm one, I wanted to see what happened with it, you know, because obviously everybody just tweets me about Madonna and fucking all this, and I'm like,
yep.
And then, of course, the first time it was like Shaft opened me, meant they just cut teeth to the ring, and I went, I'm leaving watching it.
I was gutted. I was heartbroken. Think of the fucking effort we put into that, thinking this is fucking, mate, people are going to blow their minds, and there's you in the ring just like stretching out.
I know, I'm fucking...
blow my voice out during that entrance each and every fucking time.
Do you know what I mean?
You may not know Billy, but who does the kind of fine? Who would have made that cut?
I'm pretty sure that's the network that done it.
Vince.
The guys here.
Vince Cell on his laptop.
It's Madonna.
Aye, man. On fucking Sony Vegas, man. Cutting up his cell, man.
On his phone, some fucking mad one. He's having to shut pop ups all the time on his wee phone.
He's like, Madonna, I'm not having Italian words in here. Click.
No chance.
But, man, it's fucking. You really have been busy in terms of. I mean, I've even spoke to you, Billy, since I started at Den Radio in the mornings, man.
How the hell? Welcome, brother. Welcome. Welcome. Oh,
no, I know what you mean about, you know, because I remember I'd speak to you and you'd have a show somewhere and then you'd like sleep in your motor and then go straight to the radio. It's fucking, it's a complete lifestyle change, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's awesome fun. And you.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
I'm loving what you guys are doing as well. It's great.
I'm loving your work, Billy.
Cheers, brother. I appreciate that. But
that's bullshit.
Do you know? No, listen.
Probably
that's because,
you know, listen, we're not going to listen to each other. Who are we kidding?
But, no, listen. It's no bullshit because my girlfriend listens to Billy in the mornings rather than me.
All right.
She loves you. She's always loved Billy. Oh, God, did you hear that? She was like, no, I was listening to Billy.
That's ironic.
It blows her mind that you're the commentator, like, because before she started going with me, she just knew you as Billy Kirkwood on the radio, and then she's like, is that fucking Billy Kirkwood talking your wrestling match? And I'm like, aye. She didn't know.
It's quite mental that folk like don't get. It's just like, how can you be the same person? Mm-hmm. And you know it yourself, man. You go in there, people go, how do you not swear on the radio? Mm-hmm. Dead easy. Like,
it's easy. Think, what's hard to talk about is fucking Little Mix and what they've been getting up to, and like, and do you know what I mean? And like Joe Wicks and what's he been up to, and who, do you know? That's harder than anything. Than
just imagine
yourself not to swear.
Just imagine you could swear in the mornings. It'd be great. And now here's Rita Ora, the fucking cow.
It would spice it up.
Where's the weirdest place you've had a wank? And just watch the phone lines light up. Watch them light up.
Anyway, Billy, what's happening anyway? What do you think of the current state of the wrestling business?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. First of all, let me think.
Do you watch AEW?
I do. I'll level with you. I watch AEW probably a lot more than WWE just now.
I need to.
SmackDown and NXT guys just now. Don't get me wrong, I'll like everybody else, I'll watch the YouTube 2-minute clips of Raw on YouTube the next morning. I've got fucking three wains and I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some cunt thinks I'm sitting up watching it through an advert every 30 seconds. And fuck that on Sky, whatever it's on now. Do you know something? They're doing an amazing job. Like, see, I go back all the way to WrestleMania last year. Fucking that was brilliant what they're doing. But right now, you know what I'm missing? Colourful characters, man. Like, I'm missing, where are the characters? I'm sick of folk just like, I'm Johnny Hardcore. I'm getting sick of those guys. Where's your IRSs? I know this will sound daft, but you see a guy in boots and tights and his gimmick is he's a bit hard and that's it. Like, yep. I expect Damien Priest looks like he goes to the Catty Underls. Do you know what I mean? There's something about him. Like, I don't mind that, but where's your IRSs? Where's the travel agent who's going like, I'll get a one-way ticket to pain? You know, the fucking passive. I think that's what's missing in wrestling.
And I don't know if you've seen that hang on Twitter the day. Everybody's got fucking the same haircut. Did anybody see that Twitter thread the day?
This one. They've got this one.
Aye, you've got an all. Somebody's got up a Freddy, like every wrestler's in the WWE, and they've all got a haircut some way or another.
I noticed that, and I literally text my wife and went, I'm growing my hair out. I'm growing my hair out. I've had enough of this. I'm not an undercut dick. You know what I mean? It's but in terms of what they're doing just now, AEW, do you know, see the fact they've got, I don't know if it's because they've got a crowd, man, but you see the fact they've just even got that wee crowd there, it just brings me in that wee bit more, and these guys are not getting to see, and I don't know, I'm really enjoying AEW just now. That's not a knock at WWE, it just seems to be floating my boat. And TNA, who's I don't know, is that TNA? It's still Impact, isn't it? I don't know. The stuff's good, but it's...
Here, by the way, the only thing I don't like about that crowd in AEW is the fucking Chris Jericho entrance, man. And everybody, it's as if they have their match and then they sit out in the front row and fucking have a mosh pit to Jericho's music. Right. All the good guys, all the bad guys, it's fucking lame. MD, agree?
See when a wrestler comes in and everyone starts singing their theme, man, and they're going mental. I mean, it's almost as if somebody had done it before them. I know what you mean. It's dead staged. Do you know, I think it's dead staged?
Oh, it's so awkward looking, but some of them get right in about it. Like fucking Billy Gunn, man, he's about 50 odd and he's fucking bottom his head. Wee young boy to fucking, what is it? I'm a coming. And then is he a good guy? I don't know, but I just think that's a wee bit pathetic.
Oh, and Jericho is looking like, I'm not a fat guy. We've all put in a bit of lockdown luggage, but I'm not being funny about it. But Jericho looks like a melted candle. What the fuck is going on? Do you know what I mean? He has a lumpy mess of him. He looks like a fucking knee. You know, he's a mess. You're paid to be on telly every week, man. Sting's turning up and better Mick than you, and he's not wrestled in 2 years, and he's like fucking 70 odd, or whatever it is.
Brody's seen Sting back in the wee gothic guys hanging about. They're quite good together.
He's excited about Cody and Shaq.
No.
It feels like, is it not like 10 years too late to put Shaq in a wrestling ring?
That's a bit, aye.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like him versus Big Show or something, I would have watched that, or him versus the great Khali, and Khali could have squashed his head and it would have been fucking yes.
Because they were always like making noises about him coming into WWE properly, weren't they? Like you turned up at one of the Royal Rumbles, didn't you? No, it was a Battle Royal, Andre, a giant Battle Royal.
That's right, mate. Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird, isn't it? It's a weird fit, him and Cody.
Seemed like money. I don't like Cody's going to look tiny next to Shaq.
The only thing I can think is obviously they have loads of basketball on TNT. You know what I mean? When I watch a basketball on TNT, they're always advertising AEW. So there's obviously just they've went, let's do a wee bit of crossover here, see if we can bring some of the basketball audience onto AEW. Right. That must be what it is.
Is that the channel his chat show's on? You know, I know the chat show.
Basketball show, but they're all behind the desks and stuff.
Is that on TNT?
That's on TNT.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
You should. No, but what are you talking about? You're talking about the one where it's like Britain's Got Talent and it's Cody Rhodes and fucking Snoop Dogg. Is this a different thing altogether?
Oh, it's a different thing.
No. Yeah, you know, we're talking about just the fact that Cody and Shaq are going to be fighting each other.
Oh, are they wrestling each other? Right, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Not a tag match.
Right. Aye. I saw played out all that carry on, innit? Or that fucking
right.
I got with a comedian and fucking try and draw.
Grado never gives me a good answer here. Why is Grado no on these ICW teams?
I have absolutely no idea.
I don't even know.
I would love it.
Right, don't get all awkward, guys. I'm just asking.
I'm not getting awkward at all. I can't wrestle dinner. I cannot wrestle. There is no way in a million years I'm fit enough to get in a ring. Absolutely no chance. I'm bust walking the dog. I'm bust bending out of time of laces. I'm sorry to tell you, mate, but I'm in the nick.
Look at Jericho, though.
How long would it take you?
About a fortnight. That's just swimming, Milton's back up.
Are you saying you want booked on these, Grado?
Well, to be honest with you, you'd be all right having a wee booking for something to look forward to.
Well,
do you know what I mean? To kind of go, right, I need to get my arse in gear and buy a new leotard and all that. Phone the wee guy down in England that makes the boots. It's always in Magaluf because he'll not be in Magaluf then now.
Hey, Bill, you've got a bit of stroke in you, ICW. You've got a bit of pull there. You can sort that out, can you?
I'm I'll have a word. I'll get it sorted.
Have you ever done? Well, have you ever done anything like creative wise? YCW has always just been purely commentary.
Do you know, man? I've helped folk out with promos and pitching TV stuff and what have you, and that's it, really. Just folk with their characters. I don't like getting involved with that side. I'd love to if, like, the right circumstance, but there's other people doing that, man, right now, and doing an amazing job. So that's not for me. That's not for
one thing that I love, and I've probably said it to you before, man, but I loved when it was, and I was fighting Drew and all that in 2015 and 16, and you would commentate my matches and you would go, Graham Steveley. And you'd come in, man, I'd love that. I'd love when you'd done that. I was like, it's cool, man. He's like, do you know what I mean? There was something cool about him going, it's Graham Steveley's dream.
There's a thing here, though. Sorry, Billy, but there's a thing I need to say as well, that I've been to a few ICW shows and, like, before they start and stuff, and Billy always looks like the most professional guy in the building. He's always up there. He's up there at his desk. He's getting things prepped. He's looking at stuff. He looks ready. He's focused. He's sober. You know what I mean? He's just fucking ready to go. And I think that's why you're so good at it as well. You know what I mean? It's like, I think people sometimes maybe don't realize, obviously, because ICW had this kind of wild reputation. You know what I mean? They were kind of like, it was like a wild place to be and a wild night out and stuff like that. But at the center of it there, they had you, who were fucking professional as fuck and focused as fuck, telling the stories of everything that was happening. And I think you've been a large part of all that success, really. Mm-hmm. Your voice carrying all that.
Oh, man, I don't know about that or anything. I've just got my small part to play, but so I appreciate that. But, you know, there's a group of guys that work so... And Grado knows, man, there's a group of folk, like the TV guys and what have you, that work so fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the idea of letting anyone down. And, you know, when I started doing commentary, man, for ICW, I'd never done commentary before, but I'd been a wrestling fan since I was in Single Figures. And I'd also seen the way British commentators did it. And it used to drove me nuts, man, how smug or shy or just, you just didn't. And it's a big deal, man. You say something's a big deal, it is a fucking big deal. And I was always like, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I get to tell dick jokes at comedy clubs and I'm getting to do wrestling commentary. Yep. Do you know what I mean? So I want to put everything into this. And the thing is, man, people that watch it, I want you to get, I am as excited about doing it as I sound. Like, I just, and I can't stand the idea of people that are just being not invested in it, because it comes across as pish. It comes across if someone's being too cool for school or that they're not.
Try to get yourself over when commentary.
And it's a high-pressure gig as well, isn't it? Because a commentator can collapse a whole thing as well, can't they? I mean, it's a high-pressure gig, really.
And don't get me wrong, I get picked up if I make even the slightest mistake. And I'm sure there's some lines on it. And mate, I'm by no means a finished product, man. I'm learning every time. But it can be quite high pressure. I remember a couple of things when we were doing like the live pay-per-views, and they would go, right, you need to open the show in real time, like 5, 4, 2, 1, opening the show real time because we're broadcasting around the world. And man, that's the first time I've ever went, fuck, this is high pressure, because I've got 1,500 people standing behind me who are just there to go, ah, you dick. Then I've got the people watching. And if everyone remembers when Drew McDonald passed away, that was one of the first ones we ever did a live pay-per-view. And I had to introduce, start the show, introduce his tribute video. And mate, my arse was collapsing. Like, I was just like, this is a fitting tribute. I don't want to make an arse of this. His name's Drew McDonald. We have Drew McIntyre in the building, or Drew Galloway, and just like, don't get his name wrong. Don't get anything wrong about this. You don't want to seem like an arse. And
does that hang when you're nervous as well, when you're talking about something that's kind of somber and serious? You don't want to laugh either as well. Like, you don't, you're saying to yourself, don't even fucking smile or laugh. Grado knows all about this. Grado could never have done that. And it's just that hanging. It's like when you're at school and your teacher goes, don't fucking laugh. He doesn't say don't fucking laugh, right? Well, maybe he did at my school. He says, don't laugh. And then you're like, you're just dying trying to hold in a laugh. You know what I mean? It's pressure.
There's no worse feeling in the world than that.
Well, Billy, thanks so much for coming on. What's happening next? Did you want to say something, John?
No, but I was just going to ask, Billy, I mean, since you've, like, obviously ICW's got in kind of bed with the WWE, have you had any kind of relationship with, like, say, Michael Cole or any kind of any people coming down to talk to you about commentary and all that sort of stuff?
He's in the WhatsApp group now with fucking JR and Todd Greaves and all that.
It's me, Jesse Ventura. we're on a script together. He just keeps talking about conspiracies. The only person I've ever had direct feedback from is from William Regal, and that was literally us just talking about commentary. you know, and he gave away, he was some good tips, man. He said, like, you know, talk about the, not the what, but the why. Like, it's all very well and good me going, you don't want to end up being like the old school, like, go, oh, there's a leapfrog into a clothesline, drop toe hold, marvelous. Like, you want to talk about why is, you know, what's the passion? What's the story? What, why is that guy working on the guy's neck? Why is that guy working on? Why is this guy in trouble? Because that's what people, that's what I'm there for. People can see what's going on. It's no like, you know, the fucking radio. And also it was like, try and get stuff from guys. Like, I've been a big one for coming up with shit. Or I've given folk nicknames that then they put in a t-shirt and that's became their character, which is cool. Which I love that side of it. Like this demo, for example, I called him the Beast of Belfast. And I don't think Damo will mind me saying this, but that kind of clicked in his head and in his character. And even now, it's still his character over in NXT.
I didn't really mind that Grado's big hairy ear shirt tits. I was close to putting it in a t-shirt.
Sorry, mate. But it was the straps are down, the tits are out.
That's it. Something like that. Aye, that's brilliant. I love that.
That's like
see my brother who doesn't like wrestling, he loves you. Like when he would come to ICW and be like, no real interest in wrestling, but you warming up the crowd, the wee man and stuff like that. It's all part of why ICW is different, because it isn't just straight up wrestling. There is funny, there is drama, there is freaking fireworks, the lot. But actually, there's a question I wanted to ask you, but for the, is there anything but, like, because you know when ICW, at one point were doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday in England and the next week, and what was sometimes felt like a full time schedule. Was there ever anything in matches that wrestlers done that really pissed you off? I don't know if I mean that you, by phoning it in, or is there anything where you thought, how the fuck did I commentate this? There must be plenty of things where you've went, come on, man.
Do you know the one thing that got me, and I guess we just weren't used to it. I remember having to say to a couple of guys when we were doing like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, having to say to a couple of guys, look, guys, we're actually filming all these and you're doing the same match.
Aye.
Yeah, and you need to pat that. And like, there was, I don't want to say who it was, but there was a guy in particular, and it's like, you have lost the same way three times in a row. Like,
aye.
You must look like, in the real world, you look like the biggest tit in the world because this guy doesn't learn. Do you know what I mean? He literally loses the same way. And you feel like I'm just an arsehole comedian, do you know what I mean? But I've got to go up to think, look, man, I don't know who might see this and they're going to notice. And then there were spots that guys were just doing like two or three times a night. And it's like, watch the same matches, you know, like forearm off the rope, forearm back, hit. I must have seen these guys from the same area doing this same spot like three times in a fucking night. And even the crowd are like, I still remember a guy in Southampton loudly going, oh, for fuck's sake. And you know that's no good, man. You know that's no good. And folk are looking at you. I remember the guy. Because he's like, Billy! And he's like, it's fucking nothing to do with me. Sorry, lads. This guy that probably got a free fucking ticket is kicking off. But no, man, I thought everybody did a great job in those. And most folk were like treating it what it was, like a Super Bowl of like getting an opportunity to go there and show what you do. But that's about my pet peeves, man, is folk not watching each other's matches and trying not to get their characters over and seeing what different they can do. Because it's like, mate, you guys know from like, if you've done anything on stage or if you're at a comedy gig, you watch who else is on. So when you come up, you're not coming out and saying the same fucking thing or doing the same thing.
Because it's you that looks like the arsehole.
Are you stunning up?
I am stunning up.
So you date stunning up? I've thought about this. You've got your soundproofed room there, right?
That I should say, it looks soundproof. But this is the cheapest shite I could get.
It looks good.
It looks good.
And I've just lit it and it just looks all right. They start playing like Peppa Pig on that telly. You'll hear every word that that fucking wee opinionated bitch says on that telly.
She's the worst, isn't she, Peppa Pig?
Can't stand Peppa Pig, man.
She's the worst. She's got a terrible attitude, man.
She's just the worst.
She's a bully.
She's horrible. Billy. Daddy Pig needs to fucking get the finger out, man.
I'm surprised that's all in my telly half the shit that she says.
And Daddy Pig's good at fucking diving. You never hear them talking about that. No, they're just fat shaming him all the time.
It's a disgrace. That, Daddy. Yeah, sure.
Fucking does my disgrace. Man.
Anyway, Billy, thanks so much for coming on. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Guys, it's been so long. I'm glad to see you as well.
I know, mate. It's like when I see a photo of you, Billy, man, I pure miss it. Pure miss everything.
Yeah, I do.
It's sad.
It's depressing, isn't it? It's depressing.
Getting to that stage now, but you know something, guys, I genuinely think that I get a feeling we're heading towards this in some, you know, I get a feeling we're turning the corner. Turning the corner.
Glad somebody's feeling like that.
Well, I know it's nice. There's at least one of us feeling like that. It's good. And it would be lovely, positive Billy Kirkwood, wouldn't it? It's feeling it. It would be that. Listen, no, Billy, we all like you. Billy's I would just want to say as well to the listeners, Billy's such a nice guy as well.
Nobody ever says anything bad about Billy, didn't they?
Nobody's got a bad word to say about Billy Kirkwood. And believe me, see, when you're a fucking stand-up comedian, see, having nobody that has a bad word to say about you, that's like a very, very rare fucking thing for stand-up.
Because when I come back to stand-up, man, I'm turning heel. I'm going to fucking just... You know what I mean? I'm going to be hitting cunts with chairs in the middle of their sets.
Yeah, so, I know.
Mainly like football.
Scrap for sports, isn't there? There's going to be a serious scrap for sports once everything comes back. It's going to be like, fuck me, man, trying to book a room for a live hang.
I've got a filing cut. I'm just going to start spreading rumours. It's like, oh, he's a beast. And everything I can do.
Beautiful, man. Right, thanks so much. Right, and all the best to you always. Hope the family's good and all that.
Aye,
and
definitely.
You too, guys. Right. Listen, look after yourselves, and I'll see you soon, all right?
Take care, Billy, man.
Catch you later. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You just made the list!
Every week we run down a chart of something wrestling related in our list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week we asked you to vote between the best commentators and best colour commentators. With 77% of the vote, it was colour commentators that won. So it's time to do a top three colour commentators. Right, so we know who number one is.
Do we?
I just need to put the oven on for the rain, right? I'm babysitting. That's why, John, it's not for the football, I'm babysitting. Is that all right? Just to reset.
Yeah. No worries. Will I wait for you, Grado, or will I do my list?
No, I'll batter in. I don't like this, but
all right, okay. No worries, I'll do it. at number three, for me, it has got to be Jesse the Body Ventura. When I was a wee guy, that was Jesse the Body Ventura was the guy I wanted to hear moaning and shouting about. I was fascinated with Jesse the Body Ventura. I think also because not just his commentary, but I felt like I'd never seen him wrestle as well. I felt like I'd never, you know what I mean? And he's like this big giant guy. And I was like, why is he not battering everybody? I was thinking when I was a wee guy. And I really love Jesse the Body Ventura. Although when you're listening to him now, you kind of, it's all of its time, that kind of colour commentary. But
you think? I'd love to hear someone like that real, I mean, because he was the real kind of heel. You don't really get like a proper good heel commentator now. And Jesse the Body was always brilliant at that, you know, especially playing off against Gorilla as well. I love Jesse the Body Ventura.
He was great. He's my number three. My number two, a colour commentator who I feel is has fallen out of favour, but I think people are forgetting how good he was in his initial run, I would say, and how vital he was to the whole atmosphere of the Attitude Era, and it's Jerry the King Lawler. I think he's an underrated colour commentator. I don't know. I see John's making a face here already. I think a lot of people just focus on the fact that nowadays the King is very PG friendly and he's kind of bland and doesn't do anything. And I know there's also that side of him that's like shouting about puppies and about the woman and making pervy comments about the woman and all of that, right? My defense for him there on that is that for that product of that time, he was the perfect color commentator. He was kind of the voicey, the demographic that was watching it to an extent. He was a middle-aged man who acted like a teenage boy when he was watching this show and these women and these guys. And because of that, because he spoke like a teenage boy, he was perfectly nailing what the product was aiming for in terms of attitude. And then before then, when the King had just kind of started his first couple of years, sitting alongside JR, the King was absolutely dynamite. He was super informative. He could talk like hell. He was nasty. You could always feel like he could get involved in a hangman. You could always feel he could jaw back and forth with wrestlers as they walk past the desk and stuff. I just think the King is a massively underrated colour commentator. And I think nowadays everybody likes to go, oh, the King. The King's past it. And also, the King's an embarrassment when he used to do all the hang about the woman and all that, but forgetting that he was perfect then at that time. Number one is Bobby Heenan. We don't even need to discuss it.
Who was your number three, Rab? Sorry, it was just...
Jesse the Body Ventura.
All right. I just want to say a wee shout out to my favourite commentary team when I was young. Obviously, it was Gianna King. However, watching... I just want to say that watching CZW, I fucking loved Eric Gargiulo and John House. They were... I mean, they probably, if I went back to listen to it now, it'd be rotten, but as a wee guy, I loved it because they were cool. They swore, but it wasn't like every 2 seconds, and it was cool to me. And I'll never forget when Johnny and Jody... Should I have told, you about What's a Wanker, John? Do you remember that? I tell you about that?
Yeah.
What's a Wanker, John? When Johnny Storm and Jody Flash came out and cut a promo. Yeah. And Johnny Storm went, "You're the biggest bunch of wankers ever." And they're going, "What's a Wanker, John? Do you know what a Wanker is?" I fucking love it. And any big spot, John House would go, "Someone call 911! Someone call 911! Loved it.
Yeah, well, but you're saying there, like, if you listen back to them new and all that, right? Blah blah blah. But John House, like, they guys were.
Did you know them, Rab? Did you ever listen to some of that stuff?
Aye. And they guys were. See, that's what I was saying about the King as well. But in the Attitude Era, he was perfect for the product, and they two were perfect for that product.
Bang on, like, bang on.
They were exactly right. You couldn't have a fucking, you know, I mean, you couldn't have a serious commentator or even, you know, even like a Joey Styles type guy or anything like that in there. It just wouldn't have been right. Mm-hmm. They guys were right. They guys felt like the kind of guys who would go and see that show. You know what I mean? They were right. Aye, so let's see what the punters are saying. Willie says it's got to be Heenan, but I do quite like Taz and Rocky Romero does a good job in New Japan.
Right.
Brett says the Wee Man.
Good.
Keith says
the ICW have been pretty lucky with, I think, with commentary. Obviously, we've got Billy on the show, man, but Billy Grange done great. Simon Cassidy does well when he fills in, and even Jamie Kennedy.
Billy Grange used to be Bobby Gladwin's colour commentator back in the day.
Oh, I remember that.
He did.
How did you feel doing commentary? Like, was it hard? Because I can imagine that being easy for you.
No, it was hard.
Really?
It was hard because I was always nervous about getting the names and moves right.
Aye.
I was always nervous about calling the moves. You know what I mean? I always kind of felt like
how did you record it when you and Grange done it? Were you just talking into a wee computer mic or something?
Aye, well, Billy would just come up to mine and we just recorded it just in the house.
Did you ever go rewind that, man? I said something stupid there.
Okay, sometimes. But the shows, well, but the problem was SWA shows were all 7 hours long, so you couldn't, there was a limit to how much you could go back.
They won, man, weren't they?
So John says, Keith says Bobby Heenan again. Watched the 92 Rumble again the other day, and his performance on commentary is just as good as Flair's that night. As a kid, he was a guy you loved to hate, which was exactly what you're meant to be doing. John says Paul Heyman. Oh my God, Heyman, yeah.
Absolutely. That year in WWF.
The year he was with Jim Ross.
Oh, aye, WrestleMania 17.
Fantastic, man.
Wow, that is a great year, man. I mean, nae harm to King, but that is... Heyman and JR together were superb.
And you got the sense that JR really hated them as well, didn't you? You got the sense that JR had no time for him.
Yeah, because whether it was, you know, he kind of just saw Paul E as the fucking scammer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The cowboy, it was brilliant.
Paul Heyman, he can do anything. He's storytelling and play-by-play in each of the matches is second to none. Made you invested as a fan. Bronze Cello says Jesse the Body Ventura. He won't make a lot of people's lists. Well, he was proven incorrect there. He was on my list. Childhood memories of hearing him and Gorilla on the majority of Silver Vision tapes. Such a shame about the falling out of our money. And that Sega Mega Drive game, it never officially came out. Jason says, Bobby Heenan will always be my number one. A very close second is Jesse the Body Ventura with his constant cane and a Gorilla Monsoon. Both great heel commentators. Derek says, Piper or Jericho for me. Neil says, Bobby Heenan. If Taz keeps going the way he is, he'll be on the list one day. And Chris says, everybody will say Bobby Heenan, and rightly so, but for me, it'll always be Gorilla Monsoon. The voice is so much of my childhood. He was a perfect face to Heenan's heel, and he made Hogan and Warrior the megastars the way he put them on commentary. Okay. Gredo, who is the best that's done colour on your matches?
I used to love Pope in TNA. I used to love his commentary on me. I think a lot of them had field days when I was in the ring because I was easy to fucking slag it. It's like when Wade Barrett done World of Sport, it was easy to say, this guy moves around like a baby elephant. And I remember Taz commentating on some of my matches before he left, and it was a matter of like, who is this guy? Why is he in a ring? Do you know what I mean? And they would all take the piss at me. However, I love Pope, and he called me Grado every week, and it used to piss off all the fans. You don't pronounce his name right, but I loved it. It's Grado! I loved it. Pope was so underrated at then that.
So underrated.
Well, payday.
But Billy Cutwood, if you're saying Cutwood, Billy Cutwood,
mate, the soundtrack of my life. You can't say that now. You've blown it.
Woo! Payday is here, so why not treat yourself to some Wrestling Daft merch? And now we've got some brand new designs, including the Marcus here with a quote of the Wrestling Daft belt. You've got Wrestling's Kid on, I need to get that. And the immortal quote from the immortal Hulk Hogan, good night, Hulkamaniacs and Jabroni Marks without a life that don't know it's a work when you work a work and yourself into a shoot, Marks. That is now on t-shirt. And coming this weekend, hopefully Spooky Club, after Guido's chat about the Stevenson Spooky Club, that is me. Are we actually going to Heidmer this? We're getting Spooky Club
t-shirts? We're going to get them.
Brilliant. Not only that, we've got hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags and aprons. And obviously, if you heard there was somebody at the show with a Wrestling Daft t-shirt, I want to get a picture of that. I want to get a picture of that. Somebody that was at the Thunderdome for the Rumble. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You can also find other designs such as Alexa, who is Graham Steveley, I'm a Mark, Crud, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, and I'm a Wrestler Tay. God, do you remember that part? Remember that? Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, remember that?
I remember that back in the day, man.
So, but we need to get some clobber t-shirts and fucking Roman clothes. So check out our range, I'll tell you what. Check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. It's all the one word now. Or check out the links on Facebook or the Twitter page, and it's at Wrestling Daft.
When you're in that motor driving back with somebody you've just met at the show, you want to pop a boys. You want to tell a story. It makes that guy remember you. Maybe he'll get you a booking somewhere down the line. What's the story you could tell that grizzled veteran to put a smile on his face after years of hard bumps? Well, me and Greedo are jumping in the motor now, and we want to tell your story, so let's get this car started. Some show tonight. Who are you working tonight?
Who was I working the night?
Aye.
I was working. Fuck! I was a six man.
Who was that? Who were there?
Billy Grange, Micken, Gangrel, and it was against me, Crater, and oh, he's cancelled.
I was just working a wee. They were doing a brand panties match, hanging. I was to come in and break it up. No.
Easy payday, mate. No bumps at all.
Just a wee bit of chocolate sauce in my scans. That's all. Really.
I've no bumped in fucking 30 odd bookings, mate.
The guys lads don't need bump, mate.
Yeah, man.
Fucking bum, we don't bump. Yeah, sure. I'll tell you a wee story, by the way, talking about bumps.
Martin,
see, when I was about. I'm laughing and hanging about this fucking wrestler telling that story. See, when I was in primary seven, mate. Hold on, I'll just tell you, turn here in this drive. When I was about primary seven, I was heavy. I was heavy into wrestling. No. Like, so much so, mate. See, when I get any fights, I try and bust out moves and people, know what I mean? Because I was a giant.
I was a giant.
It would usually work, you know what I mean? Because that age I was probably about 6 foot tall. Don't know what's fucking happened since, right? But that age I was 6 foot, size 11 in my shoe. Little did I know I'd only grow 3 inches tall on one size up my shoe since then, but that's beside the point. Now I remember putting a cunt in a pedigree. Doing that once, right? Playground. But in 2 years, me and one of my best pals used to fight all the time. I used to get it better him constantly, man. So much that I get cocky. I remember flying me out. I got a wee fat lighter fag here, man. I got my small day. I remember I flung him against the primary school gym wall, right? Because he booted a Gaelic football in my face. Anyway, first year now, we were at a petrol station, right? And a wee scuffle broke out between us. You know what schools are like.
Aye,
I mean, so a big crowd gathered, and that got it better because I started training up fucking WrestleMania, you know what I mean? So, At one point, he kicked me in a leg and then right hooked me across the jaw, right? And that was the first time, mate, I'd ever been properly punched in the face. And I lost my foot. You know that? Embarrassing. That wasn't the worst part, mate. After that, to try and gain my dignity, I thought it was a good idea to throw my bag at him. So he would catch it and I would run into a brogue kick on him. But when I went to date, he didn't catch my bag, and when I ran to a brogue kick, he moved and I went flying in a newspaper stand. This wee smart cunt in the crowd shouted, "He thinks it's a fucking Matrix." It's the end of my story, mate. That's it.
That's what it's all about. That is the best. That's exactly what I want to hear, man.
I get a quarter pounder, please. Quarter pounder with cheese. What you want, man?
Aye, just fucking, I'll take a plain double. Plain double.
And that story was for the one and only Billy Gaddy. Thank you very much.
Oh, was that actually? Fucking brilliant. Oh my god, that's popped me so much.
If you have a Wrestling Daft Road story, it doesn't have to be anything to do with wrestling, just a funny story about your life, it'll pop as drop as a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on the Facebook page. He must be 6'3", Billy Gaddy.
Yeah, say that, we only just see him when he's sitting in his chair.
He should be, Billy Gaddy needs to get into the wrestling game at that height. 6'3" in Scotland. Fucking tallest guy in wrestling. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content and for the video version of this show, get on board. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We really would appreciate your support. Yeah. And why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. We need a listener of the week. Who is a listener of the week?
I think Billy Gaddy.
Let's get you Billy Gaddy again. Billy Gaddy.
I'm going to get favouritism on what we say, but...
What is that?
I think he's two-time champion.
Two-time.
Well, Broncello's been a couple of times, eh?
Two-time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Grado, thanks so much. A pleasure, John. A pleasure. Up the road now.
I shall sell, up Baron.
11. Baron shall sell.
11.
Audio Frontier.